This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
We've gotten to the point where we're now redefining the word lie, because there's a lot of folks trying to make the case that no, Joe Biden wasn't lying when he said he wouldn't pardon his son. Listen to the team on The View this morning.
The only reason that Hunter Biden was gone after and charged, indicted, and found guilty was because his name wasn't Joe Smith, it was Hunter Biden. And that's the truth of it.
Imagine the guilt that Joe Biden has to live with, thinking that his son, his only surviving son, is getting prosecuted because he is his son.
He's the president, the sitting president. And he can do whatever he wants to until his time is up.
Wait a second. I thought that was a threat to democracy. Whoopi, are you kidding me? They flipped on everything here. Paul Morrow is with us this afternoon from Fox News and the founder of the opsdesk.org. Paul, how are you? It's an interesting moment with the team on The View and on CNN and everyone else considering this this pardon right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, if you're going to gaslight this strenuously, you got to have the raw material to work with. And this is a tough one for them, because it's very hard for them not to sound idiotic here, because it's just so demonstrably false. You know, when they try to compare it to pardons that Donald Trump has issued, they just completely elide the fact that Donald Trump never promised otherwise, unlike this president, who promised the exact opposite numerous times. And the idea that nobody goes to jail for tax crimes is ridiculous. Of course they do.
Well, the other thing is that, and I think one of the first voices there was Sonny Hostin, they get it absolutely wrong. You know, the reason that there's some element of truth here, that he got treatment because his name was Biden, but he got better treatment, not worse treatment. He got a better deal because they let the statute of limitations run out. So the notion that this was somehow a political prosecution, when a judge finally sits down, looks at this plea deal and says, I've never seen anything that is this much of a sweetheart deal. And they go back in and they try to prosecute him properly, and to no avail, because he gets pardoned. But I guess we shouldn't really be surprised.
No, we shouldn't. First of all, hats off to three people here. First of all, the two whistleblowers who came forward at great personal risk, because they were doxxed, they were dragged over the coals, but they were right. And then, of course, Judge Norica. In my estimation, she's the person who really saved the day here, because to your point, not only had they let the more serious charges expire, he was undercharged to begin with.
Right.
At the least, under this set of facts, I love how they say, oh, you know, he would never would have been charged if his name wasn't Biden. Were his name not Biden under this set of facts, this would have been a major national security case, likely an espionage case. And at the very least, he would have been looking at a FARA charge, being an unregistered agent of a foreign power. In his case, numerous foreign powers. And likely what would have happened, and, you know, I worked in this space a little more in counterterrorism, but, you know, you would bump into the FARA charge. It's a very good lever because it has real teeth. And essentially you're saying, look, you're a spy and we caught you. You are a version of a spy. And what an ugly situation to have the president's son charged essentially for a spying charge. And then in the real world, what would have happened is somebody who's not a Biden would have likely have been flipped. That would have been your currency to play, which is, okay, I'll tell you everything that's been going on. I'll tell you who the players are in China, in Ukraine that I've been dealing with, in Romania and elsewhere. And for that information, go soft on me. But they never even charged Farrow.
You know, you mentioned the whistleblowers. I'm going to have Congressman Jason Smith on, of course, from Missouri. He's the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. He was very involved in those hearings, very involved with, you know, Jim Comer on the whistleblowers. And just you mentioning that, Paul, brings me back to those moments of them testifying, which should have been a much bigger story. I mean, if we're being honest, we go back in time, that was almost treated by, you know, our friends in the legacy media, the rest of the media, as something that was somewhat a right-wing conspiracy, when these guys were actually exposing the truth.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing. The left loves whistleblowers. In general, I mean, that's a real sort of favorite son of theirs. And they love that whole concept. There's all kinds of protections for it. And yet, when it came to this, it was, you know, move along here and nothing to see. They have firsthand knowledge. And that should have been a much bigger deal. And as I said, in any other context, this would have been, at the very least, a FARA charge. It would have been brought much quicker. All those charges would have been preserved. And again, irrespective of prison, the reason to go forward on something like that is for the leverage that you can find out who you've been dealing with and why. Why? What did they want from you? What was in exchange? You know, this idea that somehow or other they were all just so taken with Hunter Biden's business acumen. You know, Hunter himself admitted in that interview that he gave, that quite irresponsible interview in my estimation, where he said, well, they asked him outright, do you think that they did it because your last name is Biden? And he was forced to admit yes. Not a great moment for him. Very ill-advised. So, you know, I think that I think the public, this is one that they can't gaslight away. They don't have the raw material. Everybody sees the hypocrisy. One thing about the internet, these things are forever. The clips of both Joe Biden and KJP and everybody else saying that'll never happen are just brutal.
I have a lot of that audio, and I'm going to share it throughout the afternoon. But let's just for a moment talk about this president's legacy, which has already been stained before, you know, last night when he issues this pardon. But what is that? Is there a positive aspect of the legacy at this point? I don't think there's anything, is there?
No, I don't think he can be salvaged. I really don't. Even the mainstream media who, you know, they put out these things about him being one of the great presidents and everything else. I mean, how at this point can we ignore the fact that he won't do any public appearances? He did exactly one cabinet meeting in the last year or so, and it might even be longer, of his presidency, and his wife ran it. I mean, that was really the reason that, you know, they had to get rid of him, was because he just was so exposed in that debate. And then there's something else, too, which you don't hear a whole lot about. And that is the fact that one of the reasons that Hunter had to be pardoned, he had to, is to protect the enterprise. Because Hunter is a notorious brat. I've read the texts that came out that were part of this case that were dumped into the case file in the federal PACER system during the case against him before Judge Noriega threw out that ludicrous plea deal. And he has a lot of bitterness towards his family. He has a lot of bitterness towards his uncle. He really has seemed to have convinced himself that he was the earner for all of these people and that they were all taking advantage of him. Gives you some, you know, measure of how solipsistic his worldview is. And so if he was looking at going to jail, he felt abandoned already. If he thought he was going to jail, remember he yelled at Judge Noriega when she asked him, when they revised the plea deal right in court, she asked him, do you accept this? He yelled no, like very petulantly. Had he been looking at real jail time, capable of anything. And I think that if right now, you know, somebody like James Biden is sleeping a lot better because they could not afford that eventuality.
So let's shift, Paul Morrow, to the Danny Penny trial, which I think is still in closing arguments right now. This was some audio that was released today. I guess they're using for the jury. It's a little hard to hear on the radio, but I'm going to try here. Witnesses in the immediate aftermath of this incident.
I looked at him, right? And then he started taking off his sweater, the car, and then he threw it. And he told, like, everyone that he had, like, a rough day and that he don't care what happens today.
So there is more than enough reasonable doubt. I don't even know why this case is continuing, but I've still heard, and I don't know where you think this is going to go. Is it going to be a hung jury? Is it going to be something else? I can't even believe the guy's on trial right now, especially considering everything else we just talked about with Hunter Biden. You juxtapose those, and there's an interesting moment.
Yeah, it normally would not have. Other prosecutors that we've had here in the city, some of whom were, not exactly, hard charges, but nonetheless, I think would have passed this one over. And in fact, remember something, the police didn't arrest Daniel Penny. At the scene, they got that kind of witness statement, including significantly worse, people saying, thank God that guy was there. There is a black female who was on body camera saying he wasn't holding him very tight. He was just kind of trying to restrain him. We all thanked him, et cetera. And yet the case was brought because the police heard all of that, let it go, did not arrest him then, and kicked the whole thing over to the prosecutor for potential presentation to the grand jury. And then in a 10-day period, of course, it all got politicized and racialized here in the city by all of the usual suspects. And as a result, City Hall buckled and ordered Daniel Penny arrested, and it never even got to the grand jury. And I say City Hall because that's who would have had to give the order, because the NYPD detective squad went out and made the arrest.
Hmm. So at this point, I mean, this guy's not going to be convicted, is he?
Say it again?
He's not going to be convicted, is he?
Oh, convicted. You know, I have gone with hung jury. That's where I have been leaning, just because it is Manhattan. Let's remember that we were all almost equally as incredulous before the 34-count Alvin Bragg case went to trial, because all the talking heads, including someone on the left, said the theory of this case is incomprehensible, makes no sense. Of course you should have reasonable doubt. And what happens? Fast conviction, which I did call. And we're telling people, manage your expectations. This is Manhattan.
Yeah.
I say the same thing now. That said, this one's a little different because you got 12 people, all of whom, I've stated they ride the subways. And that means they've all had this kind of an experience. So the evidence, of course, mitigates in favor of what you're proposing. But it is Manhattan. This is the borough that went most vehemently for Joe Biden and has been voting Democratic for God knows how long, I think at least since Reagan. And as a result, I don't think you're going to get an acquittal. I hope I'm wrong. If I had a guess, I think we have a maybe to the end of the week or so, some strenuous deliberations, and then you're going to start to see notes come out saying we're hopelessly deadlocked.
I hope you're wrong about that. I'm going to have some faith in my fellow humanity here, because I think that this is a jury. I'm going to probably be wrong here, Paul. You know New York a lot better than I, but I think this is
right.
A jury that is going to look at the facts of this and say this is ridiculous that this guy was even on trial. So we'll see where that takes us. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul Morrow.
I did. I'm still recovering from it, put it that way.
Did you have any conversations with your family about President Biden pardoning anybody?
No, you know what? I mean, those conversations were had a long time ago, and everybody, like I said, a blind man can see this one coming. So, yeah.
But in all seriousness, though, can you, this will never be told, but would you not have loved to have been a fly on the wall? I agree with you that this was planned long in advance, but I bet there were some interesting conversations around the turkey and the stuffing this weekend at that house.
Oh, God help us. I mean, you know, he does it, of course, when he's off to Angola. And, I mean, God, you know, that's like a strenuous trip. He's going all the way to Africa. He's seen a couple of countries. This poor guy, I mean, I actually have gotten to the point where I really resent how they're treating Joe Biden, you know, and it really makes, to me,
Jill, his family, his family should be ashamed of themselves.
Situation. Really. They really should. And, you know, so sorry, get him over to Africa. We'll drop the pardon, let KJP, you know, deal with the fangs that are going to come out, and even the progressive press. And, you know, we'll do what we always do with Joe Biden, which is hide him.
Yeah,
and I think
here.
It's really gotten to the point where it's anything but a failed presidency.
Paul Morrow, awesome to have you on this Monday. I'm glad you had a great Thanksgiving. We will talk soon. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
I got a great crime story for you, Sue Thomas, to recap. It's like an episode. It should be an episode of Dateline. Maybe it will. We'll get into that coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.